This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, May 20th, 2018. Pentecost Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
When thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. As we celebrate the day of Pentecost, let us never lose sight of the fact that Pentecost is in the church calendar as important as Christmas. What? That's when Jesus came. He's God and he left heaven and came and dwelt among us. Yes, absolutely. And it is very important to look upon Christmas with the veneration that that entails. But Pentecost is no different. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, came down from heaven, God dwelling among us. But it's kind of interesting to look at Jesus Christ's ministry and understand that it was for a time. He was born, he lived, and he had a three-year earthly ministry, and then he ascended into heaven, where he stays and makes intercession for us, not only making intercession for us, but preparing a place for us. Pentecost is as important, if not more profound, in the fact that Pentecost is when we celebrate when the third person of the divine Trinity is poured out upon the church and he comes out and dwells within us, is an active every moment of every day until we die. It is not a ministry of time. It is a ministry that goes on and on and on. The Holy Spirit is not an abstraction. The Holy Spirit is referred to sometimes as love. In a sense, theologically, it is true. But in our day, and the day-to-day use of that word, it can lend itself to thoughts of abstraction. It's sort of like when we refer to God. When we refer to God the Father, we have no problem whatsoever in conversation. We just repeatedly refer to He, God the Father. He does this. He does that. We refer to God the Son. He does this. He does that. When you speak of the Holy Spirit, what do you say? It does that. It does that. That's linguistics. It's the limitations of language. The only language that I know of, and I'm sure there's probably others out there, but Finnish. In the Finnish language, there is no gender. You have to know the context of the conversation. They don't have he or she. It's han, it. So you got to deal with it. You got to know context. We got to know the context of the Holy Spirit and what he does with us. And that context is that he is the person of the blessed and undivided Trinity that actually continues to work from within inside of us. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity. They are all three one in essence, but they all three have a unique mission in our salvation. The Father sends the Son. The Son dies for our sins. The Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit proceeds from them and brings us into the church. The Holy Spirit has been, and the Holy Spirit is not a New Testament concept. Okay? I opened this homily with, when thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. Those are the words of the psalmist. That's Old Testament. We can go way back before that and talk about creation. God said, let there be light, let there be this, let there be that. And the waters at the time were chaotic, and the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters, and he brings order to those waters. When God creates man, he breathes his spirit into Adam, and he becomes a living being out of the dust of the ground. The Holy Spirit is the source of life and light for us. Don't fall into this idea where the creation story, oh yeah, God created everything, and now we just live in it. Creation is an ongoing process. Every single day, for instance, are there not millions of new people that are born into this world that were not here yesterday? That's the ongoing creative power of God in which we take part. That's how much he thinks of us. He uses us as the secondary cause to advance his kingdom, for us to take dominion over this place. He does that by creating day after day after day. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings this life to us. When we look at that aspect of ongoing creation, it can seem almost too conceptual, too ethereal to understand. Well, look at our life of faith. I said the Holy Spirit is the source of life and light. Why are you here right now? Why? There should be a reason why you're here. It should be thought out. And if you haven't thought about it, I'll let you know why. It's because the Holy Spirit has enlightened you. We had a baptism yesterday. I love baptizing anyone. Babies are so cute. They dress them up so nice. Everybody's happy at the baptism. Not to the denigration of babies, but I like baptizing adults better. And the reason I like baptizing adults better is because babies are brought here by their parents at the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit's work throughout their families, throughout history, they are brought here to be baptized. And that's a good thing. But there's a special thing about baptizing an adult, because particularly as a priest, maybe it means more to me than it does to others. To understand that when an adult is baptized, it's because they want to. It's of their own volition. They've been brought up in this trash. They've lived in the trash that is the world, the darkness of sin. And the Holy Spirit has penetrated that darkness and made them do something that all of their friends will tell them is stupid. It's superstition. It's meaningless. It's mythology, just like Zeus and all the others. For them, it's the truth. Why is it the truth for one person and not for the other? Because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a source of light for us. We understand that we should be moved to understand that we ought to give ourselves over. He's brought you here. Let him go, because you can quench him. You can quench the Holy Spirit. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. Yeah, but he won't. You're not a puppet on a string. You will cooperate with him. You must have faith. You must be obedient. The Holy Spirit allows for that. You cannot say Jesus Christ is Lord without the Spirit. We heard that read today. Cannot say it. I don't mean you can't mouth the words. You can't believe it in your heart. You can't come to hear, not just on Sundays, but during the days of the week. And there is no reason for it. There is a reason. And it's God the Holy Spirit who continues to work within us. He works within us sacramentally. Every time we come into this place for the sacrifice of the Mass, this is why it should be so reverent, particularly during the canon. I mean, during the liturgy of the word, that should be reverent because God is speaking to you, particularly when the word is read. Not in the homily so much, that's a different subject for a different day. But when the word of God is read, that is God speaking to you. That is God directly communicating what he wants you to know about himself, how he wants you to respond to this understanding. When the canon of the Mass comes, let's ratchet it up, because during the canon of the Mass, the Holy Spirit comes down from heaven and hovers over the altar and does his creative work. The things that are going to be placed on the altar, the things that are on the credence table now, that is not, and I've heard people refer to it this way, all the hosts that are over on the credence table, they are not hosts. Host means victim. Okay? It is altar bread. It'll be altar bread. It's sitting over there. It's altar bread sitting on the altar. It's bread. In the cruets, there is wine. That's it. But after the words of consecration, through the creative work of the Holy Spirit, they are no longer bread and wine, but they become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you come to Mass, you get to see the Holy Spirit's creative work. Every time we go into the confessional, we see the Holy Spirit's regenerative work. He not only generates, brings to life, he regenerates things. He brings new life. It's interesting, the gospel today. Jesus Christ does not go into the apostles and go, hey, you guys are my apostles. You know, I'm resurrected. Isn't this great? Let me breathe on you and receive the Holy Spirit, period. That's how we approach it a whole lot of times. I have the Holy Spirit, I'm good. There's a reason. And he doesn't say, receive the Holy Spirit and now go baptize people. He doesn't say that. He doesn't even say, receive the Holy Spirit and now go celebrate masses. He breathes on them the Holy Spirit. He says, whoever sins you will retain, they will be retained. And whoever sins you remit, they will be remitted. Jesus Christ, when he breathes on the apostles, that is the example that he uses. You now have the authority of God to remit and retain sins. He uses the confessional as the example. Every time we go in the confessional, when we've messed up our relationship with God to a lesser or greater extent, sometimes even to the separation in mortal sin of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit regenerates. He fixes it. It goes on day after day after day, and it's just not the sacraments of the church. Every time you read the scriptures, every time you pray, it is because the Holy Spirit is guiding and directing you to do so. Newsflash, you don't even know how to pray. Because I say so? No. Because the scriptures say so. It is the Holy Spirit that groans within you. I know the way I pray a lot, it's got to be the Holy Spirit groaning, because I don't do that good of a job of it. Praise God that it's him groaning in me. I probably cause the groaning. The Holy Spirit works in us every day. This understanding of the reality of the Holy Spirit, the objective work that he does in us and through us, every day, he works through you to do all kinds of things. To teach your kids, to witness for him. But oh, never lose sight of the fact that it's him who does the work. I love listening to Protestant folks that I know. How many people have you brought to Christ? None. The Holy Spirit, maybe through what I have said or not, he is the one who brings people to Christ. To be presumptuous and say, I did it. Oh my gosh. The Holy Spirit works, and when we understand that, it should motivate us to much more deep and profound worship. The words of that psalm today, when thou sendest forth thy Holy Spirit, they are created. The whole context of that psalm, and it's Psalm 104, 103, if you use an older version of the Bible. That psalm, it's a song of praise. It's a song of praise to God as the Creator and the one who, through His providence, fends for His creation. They are worshiping God for the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives and what He does for them. We should do the exact same thing. We should be motivated to proper worship. That's why we should be as reverent as we possibly can. Because when we come in here, we're not hearing lessons. We're not getting instruction. We are actually in the presence of God, objectively, in the blessed sacrament of the altar, body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we actually get to see the work of the Holy Spirit doing these things, bringing them to fruition, opening our minds to the fact that the truths that we hear, coming away with just a little something every week, that's the Holy Spirit. And He is the motivator for proper worship. The end of that psalm says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord." It's interesting that the psalmist, understanding the work of the Holy Spirit creatively and in God's providence, he understands that, as he says, "May my meditations be pleasing to Him." So the next time you're with one of your friends and they tell you why they don't go to Mass for years because they don't get anything out of it, or that it's not relevant, to whom? To you? It's not supposed to be. It is supposed to be pleasing to Him. Those are the words of the Holy Spirit. And we should do everything that we possibly can to make it proper and pleasing to Him. Because that's what it's about. This is not a liturgical concept. It's not a this, you know, that's your opinion, this is our opinion. Worship is about God, because that's what God says. And the catalyst for proper is to know that it is the Holy Spirit has brought you in here to do it in the first place. So if we're going to do it, we should do it rightly, that our meditations might be pleasing to Him. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.